Hello, welcome to Fundamentally Mormon. This is your host, the Mormon Fundamentalist, Mark Lichtenwalter. Today is episode 3, and we are going to be reading in 95 Theses, which you can find at ogdenkraut.com. And just scroll down to read Ogden's books, click on that link, and then it'll give you a whole list of books, and you just scroll down to 95 Theses. You can also find me on Facebook by searching facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. That's LAZURUS1977. And the phone number for today's show for anybody who would like to call in is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can also find me on YouTube by searching for youtube.com/user/God is my compass. So today we're going to be reading a couple of different sections out of the book 95 Theses. If you're following along, we will be on page 21 in the book. If you have the Enzyme to the Nations, it is on page 1,428. So, and you can get that by messaging me, and then I'll give you the link to, or the phone number for Kevin Kraut, who actually is the one who prints and sells those books. Anyway, so we're going to be talking about a couple of different topics today. We're going to talk about a peculiar people, fashions, and persecution. And we're going to start with the peculiar people. We might get into world friendship and Mormon independence, but I don't know if we have time for that. So this program will go on for about 40 to 45 minutes, unless I have some kind of other problem. And like I said, anybody who wants to call in can call in. The guest caller number is 917-889-8827. So anyway, let's get to this. Now, I don't know how well this is going to work, but people who are watching me on YouTube Live can also read along with my monitor in the background. And everyone else, the podcast, Fundamentally Mormon, you can listen to it at blogtalkradio.com/Fundamentally Mormon. So, a peculiar people. The Lord told Moses that he would lead the children of Israel and they would become a peculiar people. Exodus chapter 19, verse 5. Peter also wrote that ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, also in the book or the letter of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. When the children of Israel were chosen with Moses at their head, they were to be a peculiar people among whom God chose among whom God should place his name. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 252. Yes, said Brother Heber, we think that we are secure here in the chambers of these everlasting hills, where we can close the doors of the canyons against the mobs and persecutors, the wicked and the vile, who have always beset us with violence and robbery. But I want to say to you, my brethren, the time is coming when we will be mixed up in these now peaceful valleys to the extent that it will be difficult to tell the face of a saint from the face of an enemy of the people of God. Then is the time to look out for the great sieve, for there will be a great sifting time. And many will fall. J. Golden Kimball, page 364 and 365. Today, in the church, in this modern time, Utah is rapidly succumbing to the waves of uniformity that have been growing in the nation. Our system of transportation, communication, our nationwide TV, radio, chain stores, packaged foods, theater chains, clothing styles are rapidly ending our uniqueness. We are no longer a peculiar people. This was the play. This was the place by Eugene E. Campbell. Speeches of the Year, Extension Publication, July 23rd, 1959, page 9. So, and we were told to come out of Babylon and to come out of her, lest their sins become our sins and their plagues become our plagues, but we don't do that. We just continually become more and more like Babylon, and you know, a lot of people don't even know what the deeper doctrine is, you know, the things that God has commanded us, and, you know, they don't get a testimony of the truth of Joseph Smith, the prophet, that he was sent by our Father to restore things. It talks about the great restoration in the scriptures. And, you know, we become more and more like they are. And then we wonder why God doesn't bless us with the miracles that we had in the beginning. Anyway, but continuing on with topic 10 of fashions. Now, I've already made some videos about the, what do you call it? The first couple of topics that are already in this book I've already read them on YouTube videos. So if you want to go back and check those out too, you can. But since this is where I'm at and this is episode 3 of my new podcast, we're not going to do that. So anyway, fashions. Because the daughters of Zion are haughty, making a tingling with their feet. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like the moon. Talking about things that, you know, fashion stuff. And Isaiah is actually talking about stuff that he saw in vision, so I don't know if he knew what to call it. But if people understand Isaiah, they can get the gist of it. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers and the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings and the rings and nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linens and the hoods and the veils, it shall come to pass that instead of a sweet smell, there shall be stink. Because the curses of God come upon these people. He's talking about Ephraim in the last days. And instead of a girdle, a rent. And instead of well-set hair, baldness. And instead of a stomacher, girdling of sackcloth. And burning instead of beauty. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 16. Also see verses 18 through 24. Continuing, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in the modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh a woman professing godliness with good works, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. So a lot of people think that you have to have all this makeup on to look good, and you want to be like everyone else, but Isaiah, or 1 Timothy here is talking about, actually it's Paul, you know, you don't need all of those things to be a woman of God. What you need to do is to be obedient to God's commandments and let your good works show who you are, not your makeup and your hairstyles and your well-set clothing and all of that sort of stuff. You know, God wants us to be a peculiar people. He wants us to live a certain way. And in the law of God, in the Torah, it gives us instructions on how God wants us to live. Back in the day, you know, it says don't cut the corners of your beard, and it gives you other hairstyles and stuff. And back in that day, like cutting the corners of your beard and doing certain things showed that you were an Egyptian. And that's what the Egyptians did. And God didn't want us to be like the Egyptians. He wanted us to come out of Egypt and to be his people and not try to go after all of the different styles of the world. You know, that's not what God wants. He wants us to be a peculiar people. So, continuing on, and like I said, if anybody has any questions or comments, they can call in 917-889-8827. If the Lord has given me means and I spend it needlessly in rings for my fingers and jewelry for adornment, I deprive the priesthood of that which they ought to have to gather the poor, to preach the gospel, to build temples, to feed the hungry in our midst. I deprive a people will and by inherit the earth of so many blessings. Every yard of ribbon that I buy that is needless, every flounce and every gewgaw, I have no idea what that is. I think this is Brigham Young talking. That is purchased for my family needlessly robs the church of God of just so much. But it seems as though the people do not think of these things. They do not lay them at heart. Our wives and our daughters seem to forget that they have responsibilities resting upon them in these respects. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 14, page 18. And you know what? I kind of like him a little bit down on Brigham for a couple of different reasons. Like, he wanted everybody to do certain things, you know, to give all the money to the church and all that, but like he wasn't willing to actually create United Orders or even live in them. You know, he was a very poor, example of what a true prophet of God should do. Now, I guess he had a lot going on, but you know, what is it today? Like, why is it that the LDS Church, which I'm not a member of, but why is it that the LDS Church can't seem to, you know, they got 16 million members, and they don't have one United Order among them? Not one. You know, you could have a temple recommend and choose people to be part of a United Order if they would want to do that. That would fulfill an actual covenant that's in the temple where you covenant to live the law of consecration. And like I've said many times in the past, you know, in the endowment, part of the endowment is that God gave us is Satan actually said, if you make these covenants and you don't live up to them, you will be in my power. So why is it that we do not live the covenants of God? There's a couple fundamentalist groups out there that tried to do it, but the LDS Church should be the example. The fundamentalists just want to live what God has commanded us to live as God has commanded us to live it. And there is no thus saith the Lord revelation that commanded us to stop United Orders or to stop polygamy. And I had this woman that I was talking to at the restaurant the other day when my kids were playing at the McDonald's. They like that little jungle gym inside, you know. Well, my wife is volunteering at a food bank. And she said, well, we're not ready to live the higher laws. And I said, but you all expect to receive the higher blessings, but don't you know that receiving the higher blessings is predicated upon the laws, the higher laws? And if you don't live those higher laws, you do not receive the higher blessings. You think that you're going to be exalted in the celestial kingdom and you're going to be sore and sad when you find out that you're going to be split apart, separate and single, because you would not do what God has commanded you to do. You know, and that's one of the reasons why I do this program is because, and this is my key scripture, but Genesis chapter 9 of the JST translation, it says, when a people live all that God has commanded, then Zion will return to the earth. Then the church of the firstborn will come down out of heaven. And then Zion will be redeemed. And if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. And if it does happen, it's going to be because there is a few people who are living it properly under the correct authority. Because in section 85 of the Doctrine and Covenants, what does it say? It says Jesus says, I will send one mighty and strong to set the house of God in order, implying that it would become out of order. It also talks about while that prophet who is chosen and appointed stretches forth his hand to steady the ark will be destroyed by the vivid shaft of lightning, because it's not somebody's job to steady the ark without authority. And what I'm telling you is that God has given me the authority to steady the ark through the sealing power that he gave me in 2003 when I received authority under his hand and was sealed up into eternal life under him. So when I was sealed up, when I saw the Father and the Son face to face, I was sealed up to them and I was given that authority to steady the ark. And if people will not steady the ark, that they will not be part of Zion's redemption. And if they try to steady the ark without authority, then they will be destroyed in the burning, like as a vivid shaft of lightning. So, you know, there's a proper way things can be done. And I'm telling you, I've seen God face to face, and he gave me the authority that he gave me to do these things. And I don't know everything I'm supposed to do, but I'm trying. And I've been trying, and my old radio show, I started The Kingdom of God or Nothing, which you can find on iTunes, in January 2014, because God told me to do that, which also goes along with some of Rabbi Kadori's prophecies, but it's just interesting. Anyway, I'm not going to get too much further in that. Like I said, anybody who wants to call can call in 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We'll continue on with the reading. Let's see here. The president, Brigham Young, stopped with us. He sat at the head of the table and had me sit down at his right. The president, when everything was ready, asked a blessing. Then all began to eat. And see, Brigham Young knew that he couldn't study the ark either, I think. I think he knew that he was not the one mighty and strong. So maybe that's why he didn't try to study the ark too much. Oh, okay. I think my wife's listening. I'm not sure. Anyway, he asked for some buttermilk because she texted me on the phone. Anyway, I'm sorry, the phone number, if my wife is listening, if she wants to call in, it's 917-889-8827. He asked for some buttermilk, then crumbled some bread in it and began to eat. He conversed freely on the situation of the saints in the mountains, and he said that he dreaded the time when the saints would become popular with the world. For he had seen in sorrow, in a dream, in dreams, this people clothed in the fashions of Babylon and drinking in the spirit of Babylon until one could hardly tell a saint from a blackleg. And he felt like shouting, to your tents, O Israel, because it was the only thing that could keep this people pure. Many of this people, for the sake of riches and popularity, will sell themselves for that which will canker their souls and lead them down to misery and despair. It would be better for them to dwell in wigwams among the Indians than to dwell with the Gentiles and miss the glories of God which he wishes them to obtain. I wish my families would see the point and come forth before it is too late. For, oh, I can see the tendency in my families to hug the moth-eaten customs of Babylon to their bosoms. This is far more hurtful to them than the deadly viper, for the poisons of the viper can be healed by the power of God, but the customs of Babylon will be hard to get rid of. And you can find this quote in the Messiah Hancock Journal, page 47 and 49. This reminds me of a scripture, actually. I'm just going to pull it out here real quick. But in Isaiah chapter 28, it actually talks about these people that Brigham was afraid that the church was going to become like these people. And I don't know what he thought he was going to do to change it, Because what happened is exactly what Isaiah saw. Oh, let's see here. Oh, it's right there. It's in Isaiah chapter 28. And actually, it's funny because Isaiah chapter 29 talks about the coming forth of the Book of Mormon. But Isaiah chapter 28 talks about the saints or the tribe of Ephraim in the last days and how and what they do. And it actually talks about the one mighty and strong. So we're in chapter 28 of Isaiah. And it says, "Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, because they are in apostasy, which are at the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, Jehovah hath the mighty and strong one," talking about the same mighty and strong one that's in Doctrine and Covenant section 85, "which as a tempest of hell and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand." And those are signs of the coming forth of the one mighty and strong, which we've talked about in past programs. One of the great signs is that waves would overflow and that happened in December of, let me think, it was 2004. And you've seen a growing number of tsunamis in this time. That's part of the sign of the coming forth of the one mighty and strong. Verse 3, "In the crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim shall be trodden underfoot." And why does Isaiah call them the drunkards of Ephraim? It's because they are drunk on the spirit of Babylon. They care more about Babylon than they care about actually, you know, doing what God has commanded them. In fact, they forget what God has commanded. "And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be as a fading flower and as a hasty fruit before the summer, which when it looketh upon it, seeth while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up." So it's like it's ripening so quick and it's becoming putrid what do they call it? Fermenting in his hand. "In that day shall Jehovah be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people." Now, who are the residue? They are the people who are actually trying to do what God has commanded. They're the remnant that is trying to be obedient to what God has commanded. "And for a spirit of judgment of him that sitteth in judgment," the one mighty and strong, "and for strength to them that turn to the battle to the gate. But they have also erred in wine, and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet of Ephraim have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision and they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean." And why are all of their tables full of filth and vomit? It's because they have rejected the meat of the gospel and they look upon the meat of the gospel as vomit. They do not want to live the laws that God has commanded, but they pat themselves on the back and they think they're all wonderful, but they're drunk on the spirit of Babylon. "Whom shall he teach knowledge?" Who are they talking about? This is the one mighty and strong, who I am. "And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." So when you go into a sacrament meeting and you see all these people falling asleep in sacrament meeting because they do not really care, it's become a social club to them. They do not understand the meat of the gospel and they walk away from it and they don't understand it at all. This is not who the one mighty and strong has been sent to. This is not who I've been sent to. "Whom shall he teach knowledge? They that have been weaned from the milk of the gospel. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Anyway, let me just skip down to 14 real quick. But it says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this place which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death and hell, and we are at agreement, then the overflowing scourge shall pass through it, and it shall not come to us. For we have made lies our refuge, and hid under falsehood we have hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried and precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believes shall not make haste. But anyway, it just goes on and on. And I would urge you to check that out. That's Isaiah chapter 28. So anyway, continuing on, Brigham Young was talking about those people, and those dreams that he had were about those types of people. We only have 3 minutes left on the live streaming portion of this program. Anybody who wants to continue to listen can continue by calling in 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And if you push 1, that means that you raise your hand, and I will pick on you just so you can make your comments or your questions. However, if you just want to listen, which most people, that's all they want to do, they can listen, and just don't push 1, and they'll be fine. So we have about 15 minutes left on the program before the program is over. There was a time when we could walk up and down the streets and tell by the very countenance of men whether they were Latter-day Saints or not. But can you do it now? You cannot unless you have a greater discernment and more of the Spirit and the power of God than I have. Why? Because many are trying as hard as they can to transform themselves into the very shape, character, and spirit of the world. That's because they're drunk on the spirit of Babylon. Elders in Israel, young men, mothers, and daughters in Israel are conforming to the world's fashions until their very countenances indicate its spirit and character. See, they're losing their countenance by doing this. They're losing their light by dimming themselves in the spirit of Babylon. This course is to the shame and disgrace of those who are unwise. Joseph F. Smith, Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 3, 310. In today's modern church, we live, act, and dress according to the customs and the traditions of the Gentile world. That's what's going on. We want to be just like they are. Like, there's nothing different about us. So anyway, we're on to our last topic now, which is persecution. 60 seconds left in the live streaming portion of this radio program. Like I said, anybody who wants to listen can call in the next 50 seconds. Guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. We're on topic 11, persecution, which you can find at 95 Thesis by just going to ogdenkraut.com and clicking on 95 Thesis. And like I said, we're on page 24, I think, and persecution is the 11th topic. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. If ye were of the world would love his own. John chapter 15, verse 19, also see verse 20. There is still that same spirit of antagonism existing between truth and error that there was then. Let a man join this church, probably a good man, and esteemed by his neighbors, and continue so. But when he became a servant of God, the powers of darkness were let loose upon him. Men began to persecute him and speak evil of him, and his name was cast out as evil. This is the lot of every man that receives the truth. I don't care where he comes from. John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, Volume 17, page $195. And I've had people in my life that they hate me without a cause. They don't even know who I am. They've never met me before. You know, I tell this story a little bit sometimes in my old radio programs. I went out to work in the oil fields. And there was a lady out there by the name of Rose for this company that I worked for. And she was like head of the shop. Her husband was a mechanic. She was a mechanic. I think she had some of her boys out there fixing trucks, you know. And we drove 90-barrel straight trucks around the oil field collecting water and condensate and crude oil off of these wells that were all over the place, really pretty out there, south of Roosevelt and Vernal, where I worked for two and a half years, whatever it was. And she hated me. Like, there's nothing. The first time she saw me, she was screaming at me for no reason. I was just a new guy, like being shown around, you know, just hated me. And there's people who are possessed by demons that I know they're possessed, and those demons recognize me, and they hate me. They hate everything that is good. That's why Joseph Smith was persecuted. That's why so many false allegations were set up against him. And it's just ridiculous, you know. But when you are a servant of God and you're not being persecuted, that's because you are no threat to the devil's kingdom. You're no threat. And there's no reward because you are no threat to the devil's kingdom. He knows who he needs to attack. He knows who he has to go against. He knows who I am because he knew me personally before I came into this world, because I'm the one that took over his place. When he was cast out of heaven, I took over his office as the second witness of the Father, as the witness of the Father and the Son, who I have seen in the flesh face to face in 2003 and in dreams and visions since then and before that, actually. So you know, he knows I'm a major player, so he attacks me and he sends his minions against me. But everybody who is a true servant of God, who has the true priesthood and is following the correct doctrine restored by the prophet Joseph Smith and also given by Jehovah to Moses, I mean, there are sacrifices that are done away with, but the feasts and the festivals are not done away with. Shabbat is not done away with. And people say, well, in the Doctrine and Covenants, it says we're supposed to hold our meetings on the Lord's Day. Let me tell you, when the Lord's Day starts, according to Jehovah, it starts on Saturday night just after sundown. Because from Friday night to Saturday night, the sundown, the Sabbath, that's Shabbat. Shavuos, that is the Sabbath that we are supposed to rest on. And Joseph Smith talked about that in Nauvoo. He said he told the people not to buy or sell, to rest on Saturday because it is the Sabbath. And they in the old church in Jerusalem, they went to the synagogues. They rested on the Sabbath. They studied with the Jews. They went into the synagogues and they talked about Yeshua or Jesus. But when the sun set, they gathered together on the Lord's Day, which started Saturday at sunset, not on Sunday. That's why that kid. That one kid that was up in the rafters listening to Paul talk all night long, I think it was Peter actually, he fell asleep and he fell out of the flipping rafters and he died. Okay, and the apostle brought him back to life because it was so late at night, because they would go on and on and on talking about the gospel. This Sunday worship stuff that people do is hogwash. It was created by Constantine and the Catholic Church, which is paganism that has hijacked the Church of God and laced it with so many wicked and abominable things. The holidays that the Christians and even the Latter-day Saints worship are like, they, you know, Easter, celebrate Passover. Jesus, what would Jesus do? He celebrated Passover. He celebrated the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Shavuot, and Yom Kippur, and all of these holidays, not holidays, they're holy days. God gave us these days, and other days like Purim, that is just finished last month. If it wasn't for Purim, the Jews would have been destroyed completely. The Persian Empire stretched from India all the way to Africa and Egypt. And the king, he sent an issue out to kill all of the Jews. What would have happened if that happened? Jesus' descendants would have been murdered. And you wouldn't even have Christianity. And the Jews celebrate this holiday called Purim. Why don't we celebrate it as Christians? What would Jesus do? He celebrated these holidays. And Hanukkah. I mean, that's just a memorial holiday. It's not commanded. But you know what? When Jesus was celebrating Hanukkah, he celebrated it. And that's when he gave his sermon about him being the light of the world. As they were lighting the Hanukkah candles, Hanukkah candles, right here, if you're watching the video. There was only seven back then. There's eight, or there's nine on this one, because whatever, but there's eight on each, or there's four on each side. And it represents the four, or the 8 days when the Hanukkah, or the menorah, burned, even though it had enough oil for one day. It burned for 8 days until they could get new oil made when they were restoring the covenants and restoring the temple services. Yeshua, who the Gentile world, the Goyim, know as Jesus, he celebrated these holidays. And he was persecuted by them. But you know what? When you are part of the army of God, you're going to be persecuted. When all the chief features of the gospel are obliterated, when we can float along the stream and do as the world does, like what's going on today, then and not till then will the persecution cease. George Buchanan, Journal of Discourses, Volume 22, page 394. And what's happened today? The LDS Church, they think that what I'm doing right now by sharing these things, some of them actually think this is persecution. You don't know what persecution is. You really just don't. Not even a little bit. You go along in your little lives and you just go to church on Sunday and to your little activities and don't even know what's going to be talked about in Sunday school and can barely keep up with it. You know, they're spoon feeding you the milk of the gospel. When you start learning the truth and the meat of the gospel and you start talking about those things, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to be persecuted. The reason why there is no longer persecution in the church is because they are just flowing along, sucking on watered-down skim milk of the gospel and not doing the things that God has asked them to do. And it's sad. It is so sad. We need to be a people that do as God has commanded. Once again, Genesis chapter 9 of the JST. When a people live all that I have commanded, all. Not a little bit, all. All the covenants that we've made in this last dispensation, keeping the feasts and the festivals, the proper Sabbath, and doing as God has commanded, you're going to get persecution for it, but guess what the glory is? I mean, in Daniel chapter 7, it says that the saints of the Most High would be worn out till the Ancient of Days comes along. Let me tell you, the Ancient of Days is Father Adam, who is Michael, who is your father in heaven. He's one of them. It has to do with the progression of the gods. I'm not going to get into that on this video or this podcast. But the saints and the Most High will be worn out by the beast until he comes. Well, when does he come? He comes when there is a people who will do all that God has commanded, so that when they look up, Zion will come down from above them, and Zion, the church of the firstborn, will come down. And the church of the firstborn, the city of Zion, is where the Ancient of Days is right now as we speak, waiting for a people who will live all that God has commanded. And you know what? You might have to die for that. You might be thrown into prison and shut up in dark holes and tortured and all kinds of stuff. For what? For living the gospel? For just living the law of consecration? For taking care of your fellow man and the other children of God? You're going to get persecuted for it if you do it. But who's going to do it? Somebody has to do it. And those people that will do it will receive the higher blessings. And those people who will not live the higher laws do not qualify for their ceilings to remain intact when they die. And they will be separate and single for time and all eternity. At least until the next eternal round. I'm not going to get into that. Anyway, and when the spirit of persecution, the spirit of hatred and wrath and malice ceases in the world against this people, it will be the time that this people have apostatized and joined hands with the wicked. Brigham Young, Journal of Discourses, Volume 4, page 327. And they have apostatized. And they want to call somebody like me an apostate because I go back to the founding fathers of the faith. People like Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, and want to do what they have talked about. Now, the LDS Church has apostatized from the truth, and the fundamentalists, they want to keep it, but they don't do it correctly. And I'm sorry that they don't. Anyway, ending with today's modern way. And this is actually something that was said in the 1920s, I think, by Heber J. Grant, who was a false prophet. Okay, he tied so much of the church up in Babylon, it's not even funny. He was friends with the Rockefellers and the bankers, and that's not a topic we're going to get into because the radio program's almost over with. My greatest happiness I find in the goodwill and friendship that has developed among all classes of people at home and abroad towards the Latter-day Saint Church during my lifetime, in place of everyday persecutions and bitterness, we now enjoy the high regard and happy association with all denominations. Heber J. Grant, Salt Lake Tribune, November 22nd, 1938. So, and anyway, next time we come back on, we'll be talking about world friendship. The persecution stopped because the saints gave up the meat of the gospel. And Satan's not worried anymore about Zion being redeemed from that group of people. And God does not put new wine into old bottles. And they haven't received a thus saith the Lord revelation in over 100 years. Not one. Because they've lost it. They've been rejected. Anyway, that's the end of the program. Thank you for listening. Everyone, take care. Let me just end episode here. There we go. Take care, everyone.